Well, welcome back, guys. Genesis chapter 10 is where we pick up with nations descended from Noah. Last time we closed off talking about Noah's descendants and the way Canaan treated his father. And so cursed be Canaan and his descendants. And we see later on a group of people named the Canaanites show up and all of this. So there's a group of people that come from the lineage of Canaan who don't believe in the Lord as descendants of the other brothers do. And so now we hop in to see the formation of those nations descended from Noah. Would someone read verses 1 to 14 for us?
The generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshesh, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer, Ashkem, Nas, this is bad, Riphath, and Togarmah, to Gomer. The sons of Javan, Elishash, Tarshish, Kittim, and Jonanim. From these, the coastland people spread in their lands, each with his own language, by their clans and their nations.
And we'll stop there. I forgot it splits up between the three brothers like this. But it's interesting. You'll see some familiar names, won't you? Like Gomer and Tarshish, big nations, right? Who went to Tarshish? That was, there was a big, big creature that ate him. Who went to Tarshish? Jonah, right? Yeah. Later on. So like what we're seeing here are nations that form cities, countries, that sort of thing. And they're named after these people. And you even see things like Magog and Gomer that have these various places. But I think Tarshish is the biggest of those that we see there for a city or a country or something like that that forms from the people of God there, from the people living there. So Japheth's children come then from there. And so this is where we have that picture as, and earlier I just realized I said Canaan was the son of Noah, that Canaan was the son of Noah, but he was the son of Ham. And so when all that, Ham was the one who disgraced his father. And so because of the father's sin, Canaan was cursed. So sorry for that misstatement earlier. I was just excited to get started and kind of rushed past that. But so we see some of that very early sort of things. And these are the people that lived along the coastline, it says, so probably along the Mediterranean area. So they go and they live that way. So they settle along the north of the Great Sea in their own country, and they had different language and tribal divisions and all of that that would come about. So they were those coastland people that would live along that area. Is somebody else willing to be brave and try to read the names from 6 to 14 for us, for Ham?
Mouthful. The sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan, the sons of Cush, Saba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabteca, the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, is that one word? Rehoboth-ur?
Yeah, it's...
Kala, and Rezin, which is between Nineveh and Kala. That is the great city. Mizraim was the father of the Ludites, Anamites, Lahabites, Naphtahites, Paphosites, Pajalites, from whom the Philistines came, and Kephthorites, Canaan was...
And we'll stop here for now, because there's just a big list there. Can you read verse 6 again?
The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan.
So you'll notice a couple familiar names there, but one that would seem to be... that we would not recognize in English as much with the translation that Doris is using, is Mizraim. That is another name for what we call Egypt. So we have Cush, Egypt, Put, Canaan. And the way her translation did things, they looked at familiar modern-day namings of some of the countries, so that we would understand where they came from or what they became later. So like Babel, people who descended and stayed kind of along the mindset of Babel would form some of the Babylon stuff. And then you have the Philistines from Caslahim. And then another familiar Jonah town, the one he was supposed to go to, but he ran to Tarshish instead, was Nineveh. So... and from the land he went into Assyria and built Nineveh. So you have even names there that are familiar. And this is before we even get to Canaan, right? Canaan, that one's familiar, right? Because we get the Canaanites. And that land would later become the promised land that the kids are talking about over there today. That they would enter and march around the cities and all of that. And so we see the history of people. So like while these books, they show us this, you know, Moses' books of the law here with the five Torah books, the very first few books of the Bible. When we look at it, it's a giving of God's truth and what he had designed us to be. But he also in it gives us our history too. So the books of Moses there, they give us a duality, both what God expects and how he reacted to people's sin, but also it gives us this beautiful picture of the history of God's people, and it does it in a good, succinct way as we look and figure out, okay, these are the different countries that we read about later, and this is where they came from. This is how what coming from Noah looked like. And we'll get a bit more of a picture of things related to Tower of Babel too, because some of this history here overlaps with the spreading out after the languages with the Tower of Babel and all of that too. So would someone be willing to brave the names from verse 15 to 32?
Canaan fathered Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Arkites, the Sinites, and the Arvadites, and the Semites.
There you go, yeah.
And the Hamathites, after the clans of the Canaanites dispersed. And the territory of the Canaanites extended from Sidon in the direction of Gerar as far as Gaza, and in the direction of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zebulun, as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. Keep going. To Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the elder brother of Japheth, children were born. The sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arpachshad, Lud, Aram, the sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arpachshad fathered Shelah, and that's two Shelahs. Shelah fathered Eber. To Eber was born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan fathered Elmadad, Shelef, Hazarmath, Jerah, Hadaram, Usal, Dikwah, Obal, Ammamil, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All of these were sons of Joktan. The territory in which they live extended from Meshach in the direction of Sephar to the hill country of the east. These are the sons of Shem, by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. These are the clans of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies in their nation, and from these the nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood.
Yeah. So we'll even see a few other familiar names of ancient countries like Uz and Hul here. And then you have Sheba and Mesha. These would become countries that were relatively named after them later as well. And so what's really cool is we can see that when God said that Noah and his sons were going to make up the nations of the world,
they did.
They became those nations. And so that was a really big part of what took place. Now, as we saw in the previous chapter, Shem's going to play a big role because of what took place with his brother Ham. The Lord blessed Shem to be over the other two. We're never really given a full reason why Shem was the one chosen over the two. I think he was the one who spoke up the strongest, it seemed. But both him and Japheth took a garment. But we'll notice that the lineage that would lead us towards the promises of God flows directly through Shem, but Japheth serves under him in his household in various ways, and their children stay the people of God. And so we'll see this after the Tower of Babel. And so here it is that the lineage, that's the word I was trying to say.
Okay.
Yeah, I combined genealogy and lineage together. Anyways, but the lineage of these boys of Noah, they take us to the Tower of Babel. Now, this story is short but interesting. And so this is what it says. Now, the whole earth had one language. Can you imagine if the whole earth had one language? How that would be now? Wouldn't that be interesting? And the United States and England, you know, us all speaking English, we've kind of tried to make that the language of the world. It helps when people can speak the same language because you can have commerce across the whole world. But for the people back then, they didn't quite find spreading out across the whole world mattered to them as much as what they're going to do. So they took one language and ran with it in a different way than we might see. And it's good for us to have those different languages still to our day, because while English is used as a language for commerce and things, the other languages come into play and are good for us to hear and learn and see. So now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to heaven, its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. So what we see as the different nations in the previous chapter, we start to understand what's going on, right? They all started out coming off the ark. All the children were born, and they built a big city. And that child, right, of Babel, of Ham, would have a city named after him. Like, let's build a city. You know, he wanted that. And later on, it would be connected to Babylon. You know, his name would carry through to that. But here it is, right? These people go by the name of this guy who I'm guessing would live up to his name and give us that word of babbling. And so they would talk. Now, the Lord would twist that name and that meaning of talking too much and babbling like that, where now the babble for them at that time was to have their language mixed up. And so they had one language, and you'd think, oh, that's not a bad thing. But when the Lord says this is just the start of it, he's remembering what took place before the flood and all that they did, and that was possible for them, that they took and ran with it the wrong way. And he said if he didn't do something then, at this point in Babel, named after Ham's son, that there they would continue back to the ways of the people that had drowned in the flood, and essentially is what he's saying. And so what does he do? He takes each clan, each tribe, each person that becomes a nation or a city, and he confuses the language, gives them a language, gives them a language, and they all move and spread out to the places we just read about, and they become those famous cities. Now, eventually, they start to be able to talk together. They figure out, like, translation and work things out as people do, but it's not as easy of communication. The Lord, you know, in this moment gave a physical reality to adjusting for their sin and their error. And so he confused their language. And so they spread out among those who would speak the same language. These are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he fathered Arpachshad 500 years and had other sons and daughters. It's kind of like what the way Moses writes about Adam and Eve. You know, he tells us of the three guys, but he had other sons, daughters, people that are spoken of. And so same thing here. When Arpachshad had lived 35 years, he fathered Shelah. And Arpachshad lived after he fathered Shelah 403 years and had other sons and daughters. And Shelah had lived 30 years. He fathered Eber, and Shelah lived after he fathered Eber 403 years, had other sons and daughters. When Eber had lived 34 years, he fathered Peleg, and Eber lived after he fathered Peleg 430 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he fathered Reu, and Peleg lived after he fathered Reu 209 years and had other sons and daughters. When Reu had lived 32 years, he fathered Serug, and Reu lived after he fathered Serug 207 years and had other sons and daughters. Are you guys noticing a pattern with the length of days of the people?
Yeah.
They're getting shorter. Yes. When Serug had lived 30 years, he fathered Nahor, and Serug lived after he fathered Nahor 200 years. And he had fathered sons and daughters. When Nahor had lived 29 years, he fathered Terah, and Nahor lived after he fathered Terah 119 years, and had other sons and daughters. When Terah had lived 70 years, he fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Which name sounds the most familiar there to you? Abram. Yes, yes. Yes, I think that's Lot's, No, Haran fathered Lot. But we get Nahor later as well. So now these generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. The daughters of Haran and the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So here we start to see the start of where the promise goes. Remember how I said Shem's descendants are where the promise of the Savior would continue. And so we see from Adam and Eve to their son Seth to Noah, right, is the basic quick lineage guide there. And from Noah to Shem. Now Japheth's family will stay involved with Shem as the Lord promised, but the promise was carried forth to Shem, and then from Shem to Terah, from Shem to Terah, and then from Terah to his children, specifically Abram, who we'll learn more about next week. But this is the story that we see start here, and it's familiar to us because Abraham, like we said, we can start singing the song like last week, right? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And we'll see how the Lord takes Abram from that name given by his father to a new name as the Lord solidifies to him, look, you are carrying this promise. And that lineage, even to this day, there are groups of people in the Jewish culture who are like, we are the children of Abraham. And that's what they stake their claim to fame on. And then it's Marty playing, coming through the speaker. Someone must have turned the switch on the microphones. But so there it is that we get this hope and this promise. And we see how God carries it. And we see how God protects it. At the time of the Tower of Babel, right? Had the languages stayed, it seems the Lord had foreseen that the people would forsake the promise of the Savior and fall back into sin and sin alone, no looking to him for anything. And so there the Lord That is extra loud today. Good thing we're finishing up, but there it is.
You have to be to retire back then, about 200.
Probably, I don't know. But so there it is, right? You look at this and you say, God protects that promise, so it's carried forth to the next generation, and the next generation. And he does that in those ways. We have here, and maybe I can blow this up for next week, but we can start to see how God travels his people, and this specifically follows Abraham. And so I'll see if I can blow that up here from the study Bible for you guys to see better. But it's going to be fun to follow Abraham as he goes where he follows his father with his nephew and his wife. And for them, it's interesting because it seems like the promise would be no more, because Abram's wife can't have any children. So it leaves Nahor, but Nahor seems to be doing his own thing. And I think, like you said, it sounds familiar. You know, it's a very familiar name. It's one that we hear. But what happens with him is not the same as what we see continue with Abraham. And so this changes. So that is where we'll stop for this week. But that is how God protected his promise to his people after the flood. Because he did the flood to protect the promise and protect Noah. And then after that, they started slipping, and he needed to protect them again. So he spread everybody out, changed their language. And that's where all the languages come from. And I remember in college, I had a talk with a professor. I said, look, I would say what you're saying with these languages makes sense, but the ones that you're talking about are ones spoken of in Scripture, and we know that was at that time there. And the way you're saying that this particular language developed, it didn't work that way. Now, could a variant of that have developed around the time that he was talking? Sure, maybe. But it was, you know, this is where those various languages start. They come from this place in Babel. The Lord spread that out for them. And so they go forth, and God's promise is protected and passed to Abram and Lot and so forth, and goes on, as we'll see, people like Isaac and all that. So let us pray the prayer the Lord taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.